Welcome to the SDR Disco Call Vidcast and Podcast, a show designed for brand new sales reps working in the world of tech sales. I'm your host, Neil Buyan, and I'm going to be taking you on a journey on the SDR Disco Call Vidcast and Podcast. Did you know that you can watch this show live with the guests on YouTube? This show is available on YouTube at happyselling.io. Hello, listeners, watchers, and subscribers. Welcome to another chapter and another story on the SDR Disco Call Show. So if this is your first time joining or you're a returning listener and watcher, this show is all about the world of sales development in tech sales. And my journey, my job, is to help find interesting people within this industry to learn more about their stories of how did they get in here and what insights and tips can they share to help you become happy sellers. And with this guest, this is somebody I deem to be a VIP, somebody that's been on my radar for quite a while to come onto the show. And I'm really happy to say that they've agreed and here they are today. So without further ado, guest, could you introduce yourself? Who are you? What do you do? And where do you work?
Neil, well, firstly, it's an absolute pleasure. It's been fantastic to see you evolve this show and also your visibility over the last few years. So I appreciate the kind words. My name's James Ski. I'm the CEO and founder of Sales Confidence. We are building the world's most valuable B2B sales community. We focus on helping salespeople from SDRs right up to sales leaders with their mindset, well-being, and performance, and helping them understand how to invest their money now. Learning and development membership subscription. So anyone in SaaS sales can become a member of Sales Confidence, and then we support them with mentorship, coaching, peer groups, masterclasses, and then content and events.
Thank you so much. And that's beautifully said, James. And with a lot of our listeners and watchers, as we know, typically we have SDRs and BDRs, but sometimes I like to bring on leaders to this show, especially when they really benefit our audience and help people that are in this role as well. So that's kind of why I brought James on. And I've seen the amazing things that he's done and I've been to his event, so I've seen it firsthand. So definitely you're more than welcome on this show, James. And obviously we've got an international base out there of audience. Where in the world are you based, James?
So I'm in Brentwood, England, which is east of London. However, I'm originally from Windsor, which is west of London. That's where I grew up and went to school.
Team UK. And James, outside of sales, what do you like to get up to and what are your passions or interests, James?
So I've got three children, two boys and a girl. So most of my attention and time is with them. We go to the driving range, we go bowling, we do tennis, swimming. You know, my sons play rugby. So to be honest, most of my attention is focused on them. And if I'm not with them and I'm not working, I'm still thinking about work.
Love it. Thank you very much for sharing, James. And as a gentle reminder for our listeners and watchers, if you're listening to this in your local podcast platform, please make sure that you give this episode a rating and share it with anybody that you think could find value from it. And equally, if you're watching this on our YouTube channel, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe down below. And also, if you have any questions for James from this episode, put them in the comments. And what we normally do at this point of the show is we visit our guest's LinkedIn profile. And all of our guests' LinkedIn URLs will be within the show notes. So if you want to pick James's brain or learn more about Sales Confidence, feel free to reach out. So with James, he's somebody that produces a lot of content out there for sales professionals. And if anything, I'm intimidated by it because there's so much coming out, but it's really valuable. So highly recommend giving him a follow. But you've had quite an extensive career. And you know, like if we go back to the days of 2009 being an SDR at Obit, you've been a consultant, you've been a VP, you've worked for LinkedIn, you've worked as an advisor for Drift, you know, founder at SaaS Growth. And, you know, most importantly, for the past near enough 7 years, you've been the CEO and founder of Sales Confidence. So very curious to know, James, in your own words, could you walk us through like from the beginning of how did you get into sales and the journey to where you are today, sir?
Sure. So personally, I always knew I was going to be in business. I always knew that I wanted to be in sales. I didn't fall into it. And the reason being is I was inspired very early on with a girl that I fancied's dad, who was a successful businessman. And I learned that he was a salesman and an entrepreneur. And I wanted to, spend time with his daughter. So I wanted to impress her. So I tried to learn about business and sales. I would say professional role in an office in sales, I found via an assessment day. So you've probably come across Venatrix, Elaine Tyler, yeah. Similar setup to that. And it allowed me to show up, demonstrate potential. And I got a role working for a telecoms company. It was based in countryside in a barn called Obit, as you mentioned. And I had a very entertaining sales manager. He gave me a phone, a Yellow Pages, and said, start calling people in Bristol. So I did. I remember the very first call that I ever made, I literally was shaking. And then when someone spoke, I just hung up. I didn't even deliver a pitch.
Oh, wow.
that was the beginning of my journey. But, you know, the sense of satisfaction when you booked a meeting, once that happened, I was in. And I made it my kind of duty to identify the top performers in that company and found one, and then learn everything I could to be as successful as possible at that stage.
I love that. I love it. And, you know, jumping onto your first cold call, then hanging up. But to your point, when you finally do book that meeting, that feeling of you finally did it. And, you know, in terms of like booking those meetings and having those sales teams around you, what would you say for, you know, a brand new SDR that's about to pick up that call and they're going through those first nerves as well? What advice would you give to them, James?
So, I mean, we did an exercise before this, right? You can just center yourself. You can breathe. You can let go of the anxiety. You can also reaffirm that the fact that absolutely nothing bad is going to happen if this goes wrong. The worst thing someone's going to do is swear at you or hang up, right? And it's not that bad once you've experienced it. So I think you've got to detach yourself from the early outcomes, and you just have to take action. The sooner you take action, the sooner you start having conversations, the quicker you learn, the quicker you can evolve and develop. If you don't take action and you don't put in the activity every single day, it's going to take you much longer to figure out how to be successful at that stage of your career.
I love that. Thank you, James. And, you know, kind of touching back on that, where you had the inspiration of you wanted it to be a successful business person. And a question I'd love to ask is, to you, what did success mean? And why was it that you wanted to be that successful business person? And how did that come about, James?
Good question. So I did come from a middle-class family. My dad was a doctor. My mum was a nurse, but my parents were separated. So my mum, who was a nurse, had to raise me. She worked very long hours, was on call a lot. And, I always felt amongst my friends that I never quite had enough money to do the things I wanted. I always had a secondhand bike, secondhand this. You know, they all got the new consoles. It took me a longer to get it. And I didn't like that. I don't like that feeling. And so that motivation early on, also because of that example I gave earlier, I was inspired by the possibilities of being a business owner. And, you know, very early on, I was attracted to people like Richard Branson and, you know, the other popularized entrepreneurs. And I just saw that as a route to freedom, flexibility. And I just realized that the idea of just being an employee and working for someone, you know, was not the route that I was going to spend my life or career doing. So I wanted to spend the time to figure out how to get to becoming a business owner.
You know, but I think also sometimes people come in thinking that money could be solving all of their problems as well. So I think money isn't just that part of it. And I think also, you know, you look towards idols or people that have already done those successes. And I think another thing I've learned is it's always good to rub shoulders with people that are maybe 6 months or a couple of years ahead of where you want to get to. But I think, you know, coming down to that money element or wanting to come into sales to be successful, what other qualities do you think people should be aspiring to or, you know, wanting to gain from that?
Well, to be successful in sales, you need to be an expert in your field, not just an expert in sales. You know, so whatever product, service, offering that you have, you need to become an expert. You need to become a trusted advisor to the prospects and customers. And you have to be hungry and curious. For me, curiosity is the most important trait of an SDR, asking questions all the time. Fortunately, my school did teach me that, and I'm relentless with it. It surprises me these days how few questions get asked in events, in classrooms, in training rooms. You know, if you're not asking questions, you're not learning. So questions and curiosity is really, really important. And then, you know, wanting to satisfy the need of the people you're servicing in terms of those customers and prospects, like add value, actually want to fulfill that and have a desire to help people and do that. And then there has to be some burning desire in you to work towards a greater grand vision of yourself. So, you know, money is the major reason why people are in sales. There's a lot of stress, and because of the money, it kind of, you could argue it kind of makes up for it, maybe not quite, but it is beneficial to be earning, you know, significant sums. In fact, you know, we launched the 100K Club, which is for aspiring salespeople to, you know, set that goal within 3 to 5 years of entering the profession to earn over 100K per year. And it's completely possible in this industry. It's not accessible to, it's accessible to everyone, but not everyone will achieve it in that time frame. You still got to demonstrate other traits. Just the pursuit of money is not going to be enough.
So the next question that I wanted to ask also, James, was when I've looked at your LinkedIn profile and I've seen you've been in various companies and various startups, and obviously this is helping build your journey like to becoming a founder, there must be also some like tough learning curves that you've gone through as well. And I was just wondering, what kind of like experiences or tough, hard times have you gone through that you feel has benefited you like out of it after?
Oh my God, so many. I don't know if I'm attracted, these bad experiences are attracted to me more than others. What can I share? You know, I guess the obvious one that I do talk publicly about is I'm diagnosed with bipolar, which is a mood disorder. I've spent over 200 nights in mental health hospitals throughout my career, wow. 7 different mental health hospitals across the UK for various reasons. And, you know, it's not very productive being in a mental health hospital when you need to run a business. It's very, very humbling, and it gives you an insight to humanity that I don't think people that have not gone through something like that, not to be unfair, but would have experienced, because it is incredibly grounding. You're stripped of all status. You are, you know, kind of left to deeply reflect on who you are as a human, what it means to wake up each day. And as a result of that, you know, I do think I'm a very kind of empathetic person, have a huge amount of insight, self-awareness, emotional intelligence. And I'm very, very kind of aware of other people's difficulties and experiences. And to be honest, I think actually for me having more of these type of conversations is I think people see a lot of my high energy content, my status updates, the whole sales confidence thing, you know, people talking about me quite a lot in the industry, and they think, oh, you know, this guy, he's a bit much, bit of a character, bit of a monkey. And I am that as well. But also, you know, I'm actually very grounded, very humble. I want to be very helpful. I genuinely care about helping people. I wish I could help more people. That's why I want to be more successful, because I do want to help more people. I don't think enough people... I've got access to the message that I want to bring to the table. So that's, you know, one pretty major example.
Yeah. And, you know, for somebody ignorant like myself with bipolar, because again, I don't know ins and outs. I've had friends and family members that have been, you know, diagnosed with that. But just to help us understand a little bit more, could you give us a bit of an insight as to how did you come about with that diagnosis? And, you know, as you said, it affected you like running a business and, you know, being stripped of things. Could you explain like what is bipolar disorder, and then also how it affected your life and things with work?
Yeah, so bipolar is also known as manic depression. And essentially, it's a mood disorder where you experience hyper highs and low lows. Fortunately, in my case, it's not alcohol or drug induced. It's induced really by stress. And I was diagnosed when I was about 20. I was at uni, kind of a various build up of stressful events. Got admitted to A&E. From A&E, I was asked, in fact, I was told, like, you need to go to a mental health hospital, or we're going to take you up to one. And then arriving in that very first hospital those years ago, you know, that's when I entered the system and, you know, realized that I didn't know then, but my life was going to be very different forever. And essentially what it means for me, I'm a very driven, outgoing, gregarious, highly motivated person that likes to do a lot of things very fast, too much for them. And when I use the analogy for me is when I'm spinning a lot of these plates, I like not just plates, I like China plates, and I want loads of them spinning at the same time and buzz out of that. With the kind of being high, you start adding too many plates, then you crash. That's what generally leads to my hospital admission. The downside, when things don't go right, or you know, you're not aligned with a purpose, or you're grieving, or there might be some other factors, is depression. Depressive episodes are horrible. And I feel for people that have, you know, experienced depression clinically, even just mildly, to be honest, it's not a fun experience. But that leads you into kind of a very dark, dark, lonely place where, you know, your thoughts are kind of clouded with you lose optimism for life and experiences. And so it's kind of cyclical, you know. It's hard. I can't really tell you when it comes. I have some very good insights about what might be changing. You know, my last admission was in 2020, so 4 years ago. So, you know, that's a pretty good run for me. I hope that also by kind of speaking openly about it, even just in this moment you asking this question, I'm reflecting, where am I at? What's my energy level like? What have I been up to this week? Have I pushed it too much? Am I going to rest tonight and tomorrow, which I will? You know, you just become very hyper aware of how you need to live your life so that you can be stable. Otherwise, it's not productive and you lose out on a lot of things.
Thank you so much for sharing and giving that insight. And I'm also curious to know, you know, navigating like sales, it can be a very highly stressful environment. You're dealing with targets, you're dealing with personalities, you're dealing with finances and all these stresses that come about. How were you able to, or how are you able to like navigate through this, or like where your mind is in at that place?
So I do have a huge capacity for pressure and stress. The difference is when people are getting to breaking point, I think they do just stop and come down, you know. Or if they break, it's not in a dramatic way. The problem I have is when I break, I break in this really, really dramatic way. But generally, you know, I just live and breathe sales. Like, for me, it's so natural that it doesn't maybe cause me as much pressure as other people, you know, nor with business. Like, I've had just this week alone, mate, you know, I'm not going to go into it on this conversation, but I've had stuff happen this week, literally that has been shocked me to my core. But when I get through the end of the day, I'm just like, it's just another day running a company. Like, it's just another day. And I'll have many more of them. So what do we need to do to get through it? Let's figure it out and move on to the next thing, you know, that's going to surprise us and shock us. So, you know, there's plenty that goes on.
Yeah. I love that, and I can resonate as well, because I've been through quite a few traumatic things within my lifetime, right? That has affected my mental health. And sometimes if I've done a training session or a coaching session or a Zoom, or I've recorded it, kind of what I'm saying here is sometimes I have to put on a face. You know, I have to put on a kind of mask when I go into work mode. And somebody may ask, oh, hey, Neil, how's things going? And I'd be like, yeah, everything's great. You know, looking forward to this session. But unbeknownst to them, something horrible may have happened, where my father's been admitted to hospital, something's happened with my son, or, you know, I'm worried about paying that bill or covering rent for that month. And sometimes putting on that face. And I think sometimes beautifully what happens, and I've noticed this more in sales, James, is you come across other people that have gone through, you know, ups and downs as well. And sometimes this magical thing happens where you're able to connect with that person when they ask you again, Neil, are you sure you're all right? And they ask that, and then you may then unload and say, actually, no, do you know what? The world's gone to shit a little bit, and this is where I'm at. But having that person to hear you is, you know, beautiful. And I think I've recognized it more and more within sales, because again, it being a very stressful environment, our mental health does get affected. So I was just wondering, you know, for anybody, James, that's listening, if they are going through a bit of a hard time, or perhaps they don't know where their mind's at, I always kind of think, don't try and mask everything and block it, because it will then bottle up and it will just come out elsewhere. But any sort of advice for somebody that may be in that low or dark place?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, common cliche advice, but talking to someone and actually multiple people is key. So, you know, who are friends that you can trust that have been through thick and thin with you? Let them know what's going on. Two, I mean, you're a great example of this. You know, a professional coach, a coach that can give you time and space. And a lot of your stress might be directly to related to work, but it also might be related to personal. I think separate to a coach is a therapist. You know, therapist acts differently to a coach. The therapist will really just give you the space, completely non-judgmental, non-advice, doesn't need to know what you do, where you're from. And I love therapy. It's just relaxing. And it's,
yeah, same. I'm an advocate for it.
So calming, and everyone should be having it in some form. Yeah. And then, you know, if you're really in crisis, and sorry, if you are, or you feel like someone you know might be, you know, you might need a more serious intervention, which obviously would be a visit to your GP. It would be a psychiatrist appointment, and you know, hopefully, you do all of those things. It will avoid the extreme experiences that I've had. And you do have to accept that if things aren't right, you do need to step away from your role and your life. You need to take time out. You've got to get things right and in order. So that for me is kind of what's, you know, would be the kind of important considerations.
Great advice. And yeah, I totally agree with because I think sometimes people feel that if they share their problems, they're burdening other people, right? And I think to your point, like speaking to your day ones and letting them know, just speaking it out, like, because it will ruminate within your head. And when you vocalize it, it can, you know, relieve a bit of pressure. And, you know, I'm somebody that goes through therapy, advocate for it. And there's, you know, sometimes there's a connotation that people only go to therapy when they're broken. But some healthy people, that even if you're doing well in life, they still have therapy because it helps them marshal their thoughts, you know, just like, kind of all this monologues going on in our head, it helps, you know, vocalize it and make sense of it. And I think working in sales, or, you know, being a founder, dude, your brain is going 100 miles an hour thinking multiple things that you need to do and do this, and helping somebody rein those things in. So, you know, therapy isn't just for like when you're in that bad place, but it can also be used like when you're still in a healthy mindset as well from it. And, you know, coming back to like being a founder, so obviously with sales confidence and what you've built there, you've dipped into other things in being a founder journey. So what's kind of like your founder journey been like, James?
So for me, it's been a roller coaster. It's for many founders. So, you know, I was at LinkedIn. I was at the peak of my career in sales, working for one of the best companies in the world, earning multiple six figures, doing multi-million pound deals, working with the biggest companies in Europe and having a great time. But I identified this opportunity to bring salespeople together, to learn, to network, to make connections. So I had a particularly good month of income. And I thought, well, I'm safe, you know, for a few months. I didn't go full-time into sales confidence straight away. So I had a contract with someone to kind of, you know, fill any income gaps. And then eventually I transitioned after about a year full-time into sales confidence. And that was 2019, came out of the block, did some massive deals. I basically am the guy between the UK and the US that has launched most of the top world-class sales technologies in the UK over the last 5 years. So SalesLoft, Gong, Sixth Sense, ZoomInfo, Exactly, Varison. You name them, if they are world-class, they've come and worked with me. And so as a result of that, I was able to build a lot of momentum. I thought I was going to build a global company, and then COVID hit. And while everyone in tech was flying, as an events owner, I was on my knees, had to let everybody go. That probably held me back for 2 years. And then it was only in 2020 that I was able to kind of recover. And I would say 2023 was really, for me, like the kind of breakout year, especially for our membership foundation. And now it's all about growth and international experience, expansion, building a team. And really the goals that I had 4 or 5 years ago, I'm now in a position to hopefully, you know, execute and achieve them over the next 3 to 5 years. And if I'm honest, even though I've been at this for 5+ years, I kind of feel like I'm in year 2 of now a 20-year plan. I'm on 20 years for this, and I want to build a global company. And so, you know, this is just year two, and I'm looking forward to more of it.
I love it. And I look forward to following this journey because you are inspiring, dude. And like, for a bit of transparency for the audience. So I came across Sales Confidence a few years back. And obviously, like, my first stint was working for a North American company, but in the UK. And then I went to go work for a Belgian startup. And then I kind of realized that this SaaS thing was taking off around London and there was a huge buzz around it. So you had the likes of Sales Confidence, you had Venetrix and all of these events. And there was a conceited part of Neil, which was kind of like, I don't want to join in with groups and I don't want to like be labeled as part of something yet because I like to be independent, right? But I think, you know, to your point with COVID, I was screwed. You know, I was a sales trainer that was traveling, you know, across the UK to Europe and I had all my clients. But then when everything went to COVID, nobody was looking for a face-to-face sales trainer. And I had to kind of turn into this remote mode and I had to adapt. And then, you know, with Sales Confidence, you guys were doing a lot of online events. And I was like, cool, I can join the sales crew. I can feel part of something. It can feel my day being bored at home in my flat. And I started seeing more and more of the events and then, you know, connecting, seeing what you guys were doing with Venetrix. And I was like, hey, I like these people. But it took me a very long time. And it wasn't up until last year that I came to my first Sales Confidence event. And, you know, it was for SDRs and BDRs. You had some great guest speakers. And, you know, I met Andy Laws and the Cognism lot and all of that. And I was like, you know what? This Sales Confidence lot's actually got quite a lot of bang going on. And I really enjoyed it. So that's, you know, I kind of want to like move on to like with Sales Confidence and what it's all about. So as a gentle reminder for our listeners, what everything that we've discussed here, you're going to be finding the links into it. So, you know, having a checkout on Sales Confidence, like as the founder, the person that's building this, and you're, as you mentioned, you're looking to try and help as many sales professionals as you can. Could you tell us, all right, what is Sales Confidence about? Who is it for? And, you know, what would you get by becoming a member and subscribing to them?
Sure. So, in essence, for a salesperson new to sales or an SDR or an AE sales leader, we're a learning and development platform that you can subscribe to like a membership, like a gym membership, where you get access to expertise, content, training and development, and events and learning materials. So if we break that down, one of the first things that we do is connect you with mentors. You mentioned it, people that are maybe six months or 18 months ahead of you that can give you insights and you know, a playbook and training advice, et cetera, et cetera. The second piece is professional one-to-one coaching via my sales coach. Every one of our members gets access to my sales coach, and that fulfills one-to-one professional level coaching that you can allow to have a professional that's paid. They do this for their career to give you insights, coaching, development. Then for us, what's very successful is we have these peer group circles that are facilitated with experienced facilitators. Once a week, you jump on a virtual call, share your challenges, share what's working, share what's not working, and like take it from there. And then we also have kind of a masterclass series where we bring in world-class experts in different fields. This week, we had Mark Akers on cold calling, one of our most popular sessions. Yeah. And you've just got, it's an accelerator for people that are in sales that want to get to the next level of their career, whatever that next level is in their career. So if you're a leader, you're a VP and you want to become a CRO, we'll help you get there. If you're a SDR and you want to become an AE, we'll help you get there. And the problem with YouTube, Google, free resources, influencers, is it's all noisy, it's convoluted, it's complex, and you don't know where to focus.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, when you come into our platform on Sales Confidence, dedicated just for you, it's designed just for you and it supports you. And then the next value add that I don't think people realize that we offer now is around advice around what to do with the money that you make in sales. So we now give advice around investing in pensions and savings and ISAs, as well as advice in property investment. We're looking at other investment types, angel investing. Just like at the end of the day, if you can make the money that you earn from your base salary and your commission work for you in investment instruments, that may compound a lot further than your actual income over a period of 5 years, for example. So, yeah, it's a huge amount of value. And, so many people that will be listening to this have access to a personal development budget from their company. For me, that's just a no-brainer. Like, just get involved. And then the next part where we have to work, a number of kind of angles is with companies, to appreciate that we can add value when they've got their own training, development, coaching. Like, where do we slot in? And that's, some of the work that we've got to do and we've got to figure out.
That's freaking amazing, James. And you heard it from the founder's mouth. And again, all information about Sales Confidence will be in the show notes if you want to check them out or if you want to ask James any questions before becoming a member. And again, I'm not paid or sponsored by Sales Confidence yet, but I truly believe they're doing some great stuff and actually going to the events as well and, finally shaking James's hand and meeting you in the flesh, dude. It was amazing. And I think being in that room, we had a massive audience and you had the guest speakers, the stage, like the free food, the beers and everything like that. Just the buzz and the hype. I hadn't experienced anything like that for years, right? Except for like maybe going to a company SKO. It was kind of that vibe. And I also love that piece where you're teaching them financial intelligence, because it's a topic I've discussed on the show before where a lot of SDRs come into new wealth and they're not sure how to manage it. And, it's all great wanting to earn 100K, but it's what do you want to do with it? What investments or portfolios do you want to build? And, I've only just started learning about investing. It's something I've always wanted to do and finally getting into that. So I think that's really important. So you're not only helping them come into the career, but you're helping, as you said, accelerate within that career, but you're thinking about the long game as well, right? So I've got kind of two questions for you. The question number one is, what does it feel like, having this idea in your head, bringing it into fruition and being in a room full of all of these members? What's that feeling like for you, Jack?
Oh, I mean, it's a buzz. I mean, I love the event. I particularly love my favorite event is the SDR one, because the energy, the optimism, the hope, also, the slight naivety of what is all this about. But they're so hungry. And therefore, they're young and energetic, they're passionate, they want to have a good time. And being on stage and getting to celebrate me, I like public speaking, a bit of entertainment. Yeah, I could do, it'd be tiring, but I could do that every night of the week. It is phenomenal.
I love it. And it's true that the energies in those rooms and events is amazing. And I was really, pleasantly surprised that obviously being with my sales coach, with Mark and Kev and co, when it was announced that there was the partnership between Sales Confidence and my sales coach, I was really happy. I was just like, cool, they're part of the crew. They're part of the family, and meeting quite a few members that get the coaching, awesome source. The second question, let me give a bit of context and background. So for somebody that's very confident, for somebody that's founded a business, somebody that's growing this huge community in sales, and you're doing this, with partnerships, and this is something you're leading, I'm curious to know, where does James Ski get his coaching, or how do you seek mentorship, or how do you learn, James?
So I've got a list of 20 of the kind of most interesting entrepreneurs in the world that inspire me. The first thing I do is I follow every single one of their channels. I bought their courses. If I can get to their events, I will get to their events. I've probably met 60 to 70% of them now. That's not easy considering that some of these are major influential entrepreneurs around the world, big stars. So I model these people. I watch their content. I watch their videos. As I said, I buy their courses. I also I have my own coaches. Some are more around kind of mental fitness, well-being. Others around more being a CEO, how to scale a global company, how to go to market, how to raise funding. I also have a well-being team, which is a psychologist, psychiatrist, PT. So, I am highly invested. In fact, I was about, I'm not sure how much I want to give away, but I'm going to put out a post of like, you know, I spend a lot on coaching. And I think in the UK, there's this reluctance to invest in yourself unless your company. And it's sad.
Yeah.
Because if you want to get ahead, the company doesn't owe you anything. You know, you're on your own career path. Your level of earnings is down to you. The upside is totally down to you. So how do we kind of get to the next level is super, super important. And I think like that is really, really kind of what it's about. You've got to hold yourself accountable to get there. And this year for me, the big thing that's happened to me this year, and I hope I can execute. I'm just like, God, what I'm doing is not difficult. My aspirations might be big, but they're not that, like, they're not new. So why can't I do it? And I think everyone should ask that same question. You know, why can't you earn 100K a year? Why can't you become a VP of sales in 5 years? Why can't you be a founder one day? Why can't you run a side hustle? Mm. You know, these are all things that I think are things that people should, you know, ask themselves the question and think deeply about.
Mm. You're right. You're very right, sir. So multiple things there that really do resonate. I think the first point is, you know, the coaching and the mentorship. And it's great to get the insight as how does James learn, right? Because I think I was on LinkedIn the other day where somebody was talking about he's really happy to see people are now starting to invest in themselves in coaching, you know, around sales coaching. And they asked me the question, like, Neil, who do you get coached by? And I said, I've actually got quite a few coaches. So similar, I've got a fitness coach that helps me with my body, but also with my mindset. I have a therapist that helps with my mental health. You know, I've got advisors who are content creators, and they give me critique on the content and things that I put out there. But also, the reason I joined startups is because I wanted to learn from the brains of the world that have built really cool companies. And it wasn't until I got into this coaching gig did I realize, actually, you've got quite a lot of coaches in your life, and it's cool. And it's the same way, like, if you wanted to have your dream body, you would pay a gym membership and you would pay for a PT. So why wouldn't you do the same thing with your career, right? And, you know, thinking about the point of, you know, you want to have more and why can't I do it? So I think we've both read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad, where it has the mindset of a poor person thinks I cannot afford it, but a rich person thinking is, what do I need to do to afford it? So when things, I think that's one of the great skills that I've learned in sales is the adaptability. So you're trying to look for the solution, you're trying to find the path. And sometimes you may not need to have all the steps lined out and know exactly what you're doing, but as long as you take that first step, you get there, you'll be able to see the next step. And as long as you just keep going. But coming back to the just keep on going, again, for transparency, I got a bit of coaching from James last month, right? Where, you know, he's given me kudos for this show and he asked me the question, you know, what are you looking to do with this show? And I was just like, just keep going. You know, I love doing it. This is something I'm passionate about. But he then asked me the question and it made me feel really uncomfortable, but I was grateful that you did it, James. Is like, who do you look up to in terms of like podcasts and content? I said, you know, Stephen Bartlett's. And my mantra is I want to be the Jay Shetty for SDRs. And then James said to me, he said, well, you know, if Jay got to where he's got to, do you think he just wanted to continue? And I was like, no. And I was like, oh, he's got me in a trap. Not a trap, but, you know, he's right. And then he said, well, he said Jay went 10x. And I was like, yeah, he's freaking right. And, you know, that conversation has resonated for weeks in my head. And it really got me thinking about my content, how we do this show. And, you know, we will be looking to take it 10x somehow. We're going to get, I don't know how we're going to do it, but I think you taught me a lesson. You was like, so how do you take it 10x? And I said, I don't know. And he said, well, what you need to do is go look at those people's podcasts, see how they create their content, study it. And, you know, let's have a chat about it. So I'm looking forward to that discussion as well. And I've done a little bit of homework.
Well, that's
but,
cool.
But, you know, I got some coaching from James.
I appreciate that. I mean, that's nice to hear. And, you know, that it landed, but you have to be open-minded. So a lot of salespeople, unfortunately, are very closed-minded. They don't take feedback well. Mm. They don't take on board that they have to do these different things, that they have to learn, they have to invest in themselves. And therefore, they don't. A lot of people do well in sales just being average. You can earn 150 to 200K in SaaS and be average. But like you could earn 250, 300, you know, it goes up. So if you really double down. So I think people come into this industry, especially those of you listening, you know, you're really at the beginning of it and you're like, oh, 100K would be amazing. It will be when you get there, but you will realize that there's many, many paths that you can take this and get into, like, you know, serious earnings and fulfillment and enjoyment, you know, and it will all come.
Yeah. And, you know, to your earlier point, you know, it's part of this journey and you will go through trials and tribulations with it. And I think a lot of people want to rush this career or try and get to that as quick as they can. But the kind of story that I learned was the biggest fact is there's a lot of lottery winners out there. They win millions, right? But they literally go broke within a year because somebody who's built a business and made millions doesn't go broke. And the reason being is the person that's got all that wealth straight away, they don't know how to manage it. They don't know how to, you know, move it around or invest it and save it, etc. But for a company founder that's built like a $1 billion business, he's gone or she has gone through those ups and downs. They've gone through recessions. They've gone through pandemics. They've learned how to adapt. And that's why they're able to value that wealth and know how to manage it. But to your earlier point, again, as well as all these things that you want to do, they're not impossible because other people have done it, you know. And if you're able to find out from those people, seek those coaches and mentors that have done it and learn from their stories and also learn from their mistakes, that's kind of like what I wanted to do. I remember like being in my first tech startup, Zora, where our CEO, Teen, was employee number 11 at Salesforce.com. He was Mark Benioff's first CMO. And he built Zora, you know, they've gone public and I'm still a big fan of Zora. But I remember once I was in Covent Garden and Teen flew over from San Fran and he's just giving a talk about where we're going, the sprint to 100 million, how we're going to get there. And I asked Teen a question, and it's only now in hindsight I realized maybe I shouldn't have asked, but I had to ask it. And I said to Teen, what would you have done if you didn't launch Zora and you just stayed at Salesforce? And he said to me, I can't imagine a life like that. I wouldn't have done it. I had to do something. I had to go build my own thing and do it. And that stuck with me of, you know, building a business and going on that founder journey. And it is a journey. And I love how you said, sorry, I'm freeballing here. But where you said, you know, you've got a 20-year plan and you're 2 years into it, that's beautiful because, you know, there is a journey to take, but, you know, you're kind of at the cusp of it. And I've only been doing my biz and this pod for about 6 or 7 years, but I still feel like I'm a baby in this and I'm still new to this. I don't know everything, but I'm really looking forward to that journey and going through it. But it's been absolutely inspiring having you on this on the show, James. I'm really grateful that you've come on board. But the question that I love to ask my guests is, okay, so if we could go back all those years ago and you've got that young James who's in that barn, who's just about to pick up that phone and scared before he hangs up, what 3 bits of advice would you have loved to give to a younger James Ski?
Take your time. It will happen eventually. It will happen. Just take your time. Secondly, go and find more people that are ahead of you and spend time with them. They will give you the roadmap and the keys to success. Go find them. Build friendships with them. I didn't build enough friendships. I'm not great at that, even though I'm a super networker. Invest more in... When I say friendships, by the way, just to be clear, I don't mean friends to go and have a beer with. I mean friends that are going to help you get to the next level. And then third, have fun. It's got to be fun. Like, if you're not having fun, get out of it.
Yeah, solid advice. And are there any shout-outs or kudos that you'd like to give out today, James?
Shout out to you. I think honestly, as someone that does interviews, this has been really smooth. I like your questioning style, I like your pace, and it's been great. So thank you for having me.
You've made me feel really special today, James. So thank you. Big gratitudes to you, mate. And again, a big thank you to our listeners, watchers, and subscribers for joining us on James's story. Again, his LinkedIn profile will be in the show notes. There'll be lots of information about Sales Confidence. If you want to reach out to him, connect, and seek more information, feel free to do so. And also, if you're listening to this in your local podcast platform, don't forget to give us a rating and share. And if you're on YouTube, make sure that you like, comment, and subscribe down below. But James Ski, CEO and founder of Sales Confidence, has been an absolute pleasure. I look forward to seeing you real soon, sir. And most importantly, happy selling. Thank you for listening to the SDR Disco Call podcast today. We would like to get this message out to more and more sales development reps, so please like, comment, and share in your local podcast provider. If you don't want to miss a show, you can always send a blank email to SDR.com. discocall, one word, at bcast, which is bcast.email, and you'll be added to our mailing list. We're also on the lookout for new guests, so if you work in the world of sales development as an SDR, BDR, MDR, or ADR, and feel that you have an important message or story to share, feel free to email us at podcast@happyselling.io, and we'd love to have you on board.